4th of December 1999. I bought an Iranian Baluchian scarf later that day and I returned to the lady at the castle. There I met an Iranian man named Ali, who spoke good English. He began to tell of his tragic tale. Aged about 50, he had been a helicopter engineer but was now a bus driver, travelling between Tehran and Sarand. He was in the army during the revolution, and at one point when the army started to execute the generals, had saved the life of his general by averting his helicopter from Estefan, since he knew of a plot to kill him. Soon his actions were discovered and he spent 2 years in jail, during which time his wife died and his children had no father. Although he wished to leave to go to the USA before the revolution, he stayed, and the result was this mix-up. Eventually the general was executed anyway. Quote, "It should have been me," he declared. He seemed a broken man, full of regrets, and I thought of him driving, as he recounted to me, with all the passengers of the bus asleep, and he racing through his unhappy memoirs, destined to forever ponder his fate. As he journeyed, he would examine the contents of his life, surely to find its contents half empty, and what remained to be full of pain. His story left me speechless, for what could I possibly say to bring him comfort? It was as if the tragedy of life had been manifested in this one story of a broken and dislocated man. I am not proud that it even made me feel lucky. Later on the night bus to Zodam, I pondered exactly what I am trying to do with my story of movement. It seemed in many ways that this man epitomised exactly what I was trying to say and communicate, that travel can give us time to ponder and reflect on our lives, to look at our box of memories as life flies by, and we remain, for that particular journey, cocooned inside our transport and released from having to take part in that circus swirling past. In those moments, we can examine what we are given time to judge ourselves and make petty resolutions, to make lists, to reflect on the returning thorns that have entered our lives. And at the end, perhaps only fleetingly, we can feel as if, with a renewed sense of purpose, we have been born again. I will always think of this man, Ali, like some inflicted purgatory, travelling at night somewhere in Iran, his mind destined to remember while all others sleep. And underneath that he writes, "Amid Zahadam at 2 a.m. That's followed by an entry, 5th of December, Tim's birthday. "My birthday. I'm not feeling so well. Bought myself a present of Arab scarf and had great hotel meal. Phone mum and dad. Prepared to go to border town of Miriat. Stop. At times like those, you feel a million miles away from everything. Locals, melting pot of Iranians, Afghanistan, Pakistanis, as much interested in me as I am in them. Loads of pictures. Fantastic. ... Made me happy again." I like that. 22nd December 2002. Made first skydive. Jumped out of a plane at 13,000 feet. Probably one of the strangest experiences in my life. Absolutely amazing. Full on. My mind will never be the same. Feel like there's nothing to prove anymore. Stop. 10th of April, 2011, Libya. My mum used to tell me when I was growing up that it was okay to tell lies, quote, white lies, sometimes. I woke up tonight with my head swirling with images and ideas from today and about the tension between truth and beauty. When is it okay to lie? By which I mean that I feel we over-aggrandize war, or we don't reveal the truth of the situation of war in extreme for the sake of creating more beautiful images. Surely there are times when being honest is more important than any other moments, when truth becomes more important than beauty. In photography, we are urged to eschew truth for the sake of beauty. or that somehow a moment that isn't composed beautifully somehow isn't deemed worthwhile, even if its value of honesty is important. Today, I photograph men making the victory sign over the charred remains of bodies from an airstrike against Gaddafi forces. The smell from their charred bodies stuck in my nose so much that I found it hard to get off me for some time. I thought those pictures somehow more important than the other, more aesthetically composed ones I was making, because somehow they were more honest and more revealing of the fact that war is a merciless exercise in the raw nature of power. It makes me think a lot about what we think is acceptable to show and why. Perhaps since 2001, our photographic vocabulary has become more honest, with the acceptance that honest images, like those from Abu Ghraib, somehow are more meaningful and reveal something important to us, not just the fact that abuse was taking part, but that we had gone to war and allowed it to happen as a society. These ordinary and honest photos, made without any thoughts for aesthetics, were somehow more important than the reams of carefully composed pictures made by professionals. But still, the images today woke me up because they are somehow reminiscent of men doing thumbs up in the middle of battle. Would they do that without a camera present? I guess not. I wonder where that came from, like smiling for the camera. These are the conventions that we make up for display that are, in themselves, quite interesting, and yet they are things that we who are making pure photography try to get rid of as somehow being out of place. Are they, question mark, or are they somehow more indicative of an honesty of the situation, that people are conscious of the camera and want to tell something more? They want to perform for us. I think that's an extremely interesting piece. I found it very poignant because I think that Tim was probably about age 10 when we had the discussion, and I do remember it about the white lies. And of course, I was a lot younger, and I remember explaining to him that my mother had bought a dress and she thought it was lovely and I didn't. And we had a discussion that he didn't think that was right, that I should have found a way of telling her that it wasn't. And he, in ways, he was much more mature than I was at that time. So it's interesting from that aspect that he remembers it, that moral discussion from when he was age 10. I find that fascinating. And the other thing is that all of us in our family have not been able to get to the stage where we think of a headstone for Tim. And I think it's because, personally, me, I can't get my head around the acceptance bit yet, or probably never will, or I don't think I will. And but I always remember Tim really liking Keats, and I always, that quote always comes to my mind. Beauty is truth, truth is beauty. That is all ye know on earth and all ye need to know. And I remember thinking that was an apt quote to put on Tim's headstone, but I'm not sure I'll ever get there.